The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. That's where we keep it. We keep him in quarantine, especially this time of year, right, with all the cold and flu going around. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 16th of January, 2020. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're so proud of what we've put together over at buckmastershow.com. Have a very simple search mode that goes back all of our shows, pretty much every show we have done, going back to when we launched the radio project the first week of January in 2011. So we're now beginning our 10th year here on the radio after the 22 years on Channel 6. So I guess you could say I've been around a little bit here in Tucson, over 30 years now in the broadcast media in this particular market. It's really funny, and I'll just, when I started in this business, Tom, you can join in because you've been around too. When I started in the business, it was very common that we moved around every 6 to 12 months from this market to that market. If I had thought when I started out I would be in any city for more than 30 years, I would have told you, you're crazy. It just doesn't happen in broadcasting.
And you were around
a lot
before you ended up in Tucson.
Lots of
you were
places.
Even in Las Vegas, weren't you?
Las Vegas, yeah. For 8 years.
Yeah.
The Fresno area, Visalia, California, San Jose, San Francisco, on and on.
The stories you could tell. Are you going to write a book someday?
I should.
You should.
The name of the book would be Broadcast Nomad, but that really wouldn't work because I've been here for 30 years. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Buckmaster career. We're here to talk with Barbara Coffey, our first segment. Barbara is the Director of Economic Incentives at the City of Tucson. Speaking of Las Vegas, Barbara came to Tucson just about a year ago, so we're kind of celebrating her one-year anniversary on the Buckmaster Show. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Bill. Yeah, it's just about 1 year.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we brought up Las Vegas. You came to Tucson from Henderson. And when I was in Las Vegas in the 1970s, Henderson was like way out in the country.
It was considered way out there. They even affectionately called it Hindertucky.
Yeah.
So it had a different kind of image and reputation for a while. Up until about the 80s or 90s, it really began to grow.
And it's second largest city in Nevada. Mm-hmm.
That's right. More than 300,000 people now there. Yep.
And you had some really big home runs there. Namely, you were involved with a couple of sports franchises. The Oakland Raiders moved to the Las Vegas area, and you were instrumental in the Raiders doing their training camp, right? Going to be training in Henderson.
Mm-hmm. They did choose to put their headquarters and their training camp in Henderson.
And then you had
Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights, of course, the hockey franchise, which is really, I've still got some friends up in Las Vegas who love the fact that Major League Hockey is in the desert. But anyway, you were also instrumental in bringing their training facility to Henderson.
One of their practice rinks is actually going up right now in downtown Henderson. And mind you, our downtown there is very small. This will be a big impact for Henderson to have that facility there.
And you've moved around a little bit too. you started in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can remember the town. You just told me a few minutes ago, a town of about 6,000 people. Is it Marlin, Texas?
Yes, yes.
And you did country and western.
Oh, well, actually, for radio, it was Marble Falls, Texas.
Marble Falls, mm-hmm. Texas.
Yes, North Austin.
Whoa.
I know. Really small. Uh-huh.
What shift did you pull?
I handled
mornings
news
or?
In the morning, uh-huh. Yes. And then I pinch hitted for, you know, a few other things. But that was back in the day when the first computer arrived at the station.
Really?
I was there. And it was amazing. I think a lot of the small stations converted first because they were, you know, it was easier.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting day.
Wow. I had a little story about that. When the first computer arrived, I was at the Associated Press Bureau in Phoenix. It was 1973. They were switching over from when they actually had people doing the teletype, you know, putting it in the teletype manually to computers. Well, all the Associated Press bureaus would send each other messages, and we didn't realize we hit the wrong button, and one of them, yeah, you can imagine, one of the messages was a little bit off color from Phoenix to, I don't know who we were sending it to, Miami or somebody, but it wound up out on the national wire.
Yeah.
But those things happened when we converted over to computers. What are you happy with here in the move to Tucson? What do you think you've accomplished this first year?
It's first of all been a great move. I think the opportunity here was definitely what inspired me to come and be part of this. The momentum that's going on. So in the last 11 months now, 12 months will be February 25th, but it has been really a lot of work getting our house in order, building a team, but also connecting outward with our organizations that do economic development in the community, our education partners, our workforce partners. So really building those relationships and then finding some ways to work together. In all of that, we still, over the last 12 months, saw about 3,000 new jobs added. We saw 10,000 jobs retained, you know, when you have...
Is this in the city?
In the city.
Okay.
Things that we touch, right? We don't claim everything, so it's not exhaustive.
Right. But your fingerprints are on that many jobs.
But the things that we help move through, and again, it could be anything from, you know, a more in-depth incentive application that we're working, or it could be just that phone call and welcome and suggesting some sites for location. So,
well, the first thing people would look at, say somebody was thinking about Tucson, say I'm the CEO in some little town in Texas and want to move my operation to Tucson, you would typically think they would Google and they would want to look at a website. And I know this is why it's so important with the launch now of what is called Connect Tucson.
That's right. We're really excited to have a new platform for that purpose, right? So that people can interact with us on the web and really get the flavor of what we're trying to do and share as Tucson for a place for business.
Is that up and running?
It is in its soft launch mode.
Kind of a soft launch. So
it's up there. We're making sure that we get all the tweaks out and that we get all the content in, but it is interactive and we will continue to add good information there and great stories and everything we need to spotlight Tucson as a place for business.
Let's go to the live line. Carl has a question or comment. Hey, Carl, you're with Barbara Coffey, and she is the head of she's the director of economic incentives and initiatives at the City of Tucson. Not incentives, that's not in your title, but that is in the portfolio if needed.
Sometimes
let's put it
implied, right.
Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, what exactly does the City of Tucson do for the small businessman, 1 to 5 employees? Something like I'm driving past these strip malls and there's a handyman, there's somebody that teaches driver's education, there's the individual insurance people, somebody that installs water systems, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a bunch of individual consultants out here that are in the mining industry.
Okay.
There's some private teachers, instructors, you know, the very small, small businessman.
All right. So Carl's curious about, you're not just looking to help big businesses.
Right, yeah. Right. And so that's a great point. We will work with businesses no matter their size, right? Mm-hmm. So 1 to 5 employees to 500 plus employees, right? And so there's an amount of handholding that may occur. A smaller business may need more touch points, right? So we're absolutely happy to help connect them, help them get access to resources that can help them build their business, access to capital and financial resources and support. So absolutely open to that. We've even helped convene businesses in a particular corridor, for example, in Thrive in the 05 area where you have Miracle Mile and the Oracle area.
05 zip code.
That's
area.
Right. We've conducted quarterly business forums for some of the merchants and property and business owners to come together and talk and get to know each other and fortify what they're trying to do in each of their respective businesses, but learn how to do it together, not feel so alone in that process as they are transforming.
So retention is a piece of what you
retention
do.
Retention is absolutely... It's a must do for a community, right? So we get a business here and the last thing we want is for them to have to close their doors, right? We want to see that they can remain open. So we're going to help them any way we can. And it has to be because retention, business retention, really, when you talk about economic development, 80% of your new jobs in a community are created by those businesses who are already here.
Right.
So it's really important.
All right, we'll have another segment with Barbara Coffey. Barbara is Director of Economic Initiatives at the City of Tucson. This portion of our program is presented by a great small business, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Barbara, do you like bakery goods?
Oh, yes.
You do. Well, Mona's specializes in some luscious pastries. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve wants me to convey to all of our listeners, if you're in the area, why not stop by right now for lunch? Or perhaps you missed your breakfast, and Steve says, no problem. We can do the breakfast. That's what their new grill is all about. That's why they put it in. They're open each day at 6:30 for breakfast. I love that breakfast menu. The two pancakes available, blueberry pancakes, Barbara, does that sound good?
That sounds fabulous.
Tom, what about you with the chocolate chip pancakes?
Have you ever tried? Now you're talking.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, the chocolate chip pancakes and a couple of eggs. Well, they do the whole thing for you. And if you want breakfast right now, check it out. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Very convenient for you. All of our partners, all our sponsors, there's a link there at BuckmasterShow.com. More with Barbara Coffey on The Buckmaster Show right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and Barbara Coffey is here. Barbara will be celebrating in a couple of weeks her one-year anniversary with the City of Tucson. She's the Director of Economic Incentives for the city. Barbara, what do you think about branding? Is a tourism brand different than what you're looking at with economic development?
Well, I think, first of all, brand is important, right? As you're building an identity for your community, I think for economic development, we really look at it as what is that brand for business, right? We want people to resonate with Tucson as a place they can see themselves growing their business, creating jobs, and attracting investment. So that may be a different kind of brand than what you think of when you're talking about tourism, but they don't have to be too far apart. And so I know Visit Tucson has done some great exercises over the past few years with Free Yourself and some of that. And I think those are very
outdoor,
very powerful statements. Yeah. And we could take a spin on that, right? We could play with what is that adventurer? What is that explorer? What does that innovator look like? And I think those are words that kind of resonate for the business community and for the entrepreneur. And that's where we would want to take a look. Yeah.
So how do you sell this place? What are the selling points for Tucson?
When we look at competitive advantage, I think it's easy to see geographically our location is fantastic for business in the Southwest. It's one of these things I often say, it's great to be near California, but not California, right?
Yeah.
So companies are always looking either to get out of what is a very cost prohibitive environment for business now, or they're looking to get as close as they can without going in because they still want access to that population there. So so I think that geographically, in addition to our proximity to Mexico, so particularly for Tucson, being, you know, 60 miles from Nogales and the border and the ports of entry, that's an amazing asset for transportation, for logistics, for manufacturing that wants to have access and opportunities on both sides of the border.
In your portfolio, you've worked with some downtowns. That was part of what you did, I think, in the Atlanta area, right? Where did you work in the downtowns?
So I sort of cut my teeth, so to speak, in economic development as a downtown revitalization project manager, a Main Street manager. So in Texas, I was in a couple of communities, both urban and rural, and in Atlanta area with the city of College Park right at the airport area, also Georgia's fourth largest historic district. So it had its downtown that we were redeveloping. And, you know, so and every place basically has that city center where mm-hmm. it is typically the historically significant commercial business district. And so those are areas we often took a focused look at in terms of how do we drive investment to those areas. And so it's always a part of pretty much where I've been and what we've been doing in economic development.
And how would you characterize what we're doing?
Oh, I think that the ingredients are there now with, let's just take downtown Tucson right now, is seeing the results of focused investment in the area. You have a great tool in Rio Nuevo to do that, but you have this willingness on the part of your development community to buy into that, right? They had to, some of them took a chance, right? And they created some mixed-use projects, and maybe they were the first one out, and now what you see are the dominoes falling, right? Everyone is kind of coming alongside. You're seeing all the new hospitality come online, the new more housing units, and what we're doing right is putting feet on the street. That's what I like to say, that we're activating the street, we're putting people there, and that's what makes the small businesses thrive inside of that, right? You can't have a vibrant restaurant or a shop or even an art gallery without having people there to enjoy it and to patronize it. And so so all these things have to work together. We have to have the office people there working during the day so they can eat in the restaurants. We have to have the residents there by night so that they can enjoy the evening entertainment and the other things. And once you have that 24/7 community, you have what it takes.
And the piece of getting more conventions to come to town, when you have bigger conventions, you're obviously going to have more revenue coming in, but you're getting more exposure to Tucson, perhaps executives who'd never been out here before.
That's exactly right.
Could help you. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they're thinking of relocating, that can help you in your effort to sell the area.
Absolutely. More corporate meetings means more corporations coming to Tucson and seeing the opportunity as Tucson for a place for their business, for their next expansion and those great opportunities. So we do think that the added hospitality and the reinvigorated convention center, the $65 million investment that will be made there by Rio Nuevo, you know, all of that is going to help us do more than we've been able to do before.
We brought incentives up. We were joking a little bit about it. I wrongly put it in your title, Director of Incentives.
A lot of people do that.
Incentives are a part of the deal, of the game.
It's one piece, right? It is. And it's certainly not something that makes a bad deal better,
but
right?
It could make or break a deal.
It is a welcome gesture. You know, it is something that helps us tell a business that we want you here. We want to help you make this work. It also reduces the gap, right? If a project just doesn't pencil because it's too soon or not market ready, then that incentive helps it happen, and that way we can move more quickly with our redevelopment efforts. We can move investment more quickly. We can create jobs faster. So that's how we want to be looking at the use of incentives when we do that.
Where do you want? What are you setting as some of your goals here for your second year on the job?
Well, launching this website is a big piece of it. So I'll say
Tucson. Yeah,
that's
is the
right.
Website.
That's right. And kind of continuing and revamping our collateral around how we message Tucson as a place for business. But we will be looking for, you know, opportunities to interact with small business, more hands-on. We'll be looking at our different corridors for revitalization. So not only downtown, but we talk about Grant Road, we talk about Miracle Mile and Oracle area, we talk about 12th Avenue, we talk about Broadway and the Sunshine Mile area. All of these corridors are important areas for us. They're important commercial nodes, and we're going to spend more time in those areas as well. And one of the programs we're going to roll out will be a visual improvement program. So that's thinking about how a business or property owner can put their best face on. So a facade improvement.
Curb appeal, if you will,
right? That makes all the difference. I always say a building is a small business's best advertisement. That's their face, right? And so we want them to be able to have their best face on and look at things like signs and lighting to do that. So you'll see that come about July 1. We'll have that rolled out.
How about the people that make these decisions of where to locate? Site selectors?
Yes, they're important people to us because we want to be interacting with them as often as we can. We don't want them doing all of their homework on the web, right?
We want to bring them out here.
We want them to touch and feel Tucson. So we're going to work hard to create ways to do that. We did that last year with the Opportunity Zone FAM Tour that we hosted in partnership.
How did that go?
It went very well. It went very well. We had the county and our utilities and our education partners all come together.
And it was a FAM trip, which stands for familiarization trip.
Right.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, Barbara Coffey, thank you. Good to catch up with you.
Fantastic.
On your one-year anniversary as the Director of the Economic Incentives at the City of Tucson. Good luck to you in 2020. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks very much.
All right, we're at the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Up next, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, 790-2040 is our live line number. We'll take our break right here. We've got a CBS News update. Then we'll hear from the Buckmaster Show partners. Then back with the second half of our noon hour show. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. And talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, State Representative Randy Freese, Dr. Freese, will be talking about, obviously, the start of the Arizona legislative session. He is the assistant minority leader. And one question I have for him right off the bat is all this stuff about you're going to close the state prison up in Florence. They've got like 4,000, I think they house about 4,000 inmates. Okay, where are they all going to go? So that's one thing. Sharon Bronson with me in studio. Where are they going to go?
Well, we're
the governor makes it sound like, let's just close Florence.
And every time something like that happens, you know the local jurisdictions are going to end up absorbing the cost.
Yeah, is that the plan, to send these people to every county jail? Let's send, okay, Pima County, let's take Death Row and move it to Tucson. My goodness. I mean, it sounds like a great cost-saving thing, because I guess the very little money has been put, Sharon, into the prison, you know, upgrading it.
Yeah, very little. So, I mean, they're either going to go to private prisons, and the compensation then for the private prisons, they're going to demand more. And if they don't go to the private prisons and the private prisons won't accept them, it's going to be our county jails, which are already, in many instances in the 15 counties, are already full. So are they going to release them on the streets?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Wow. But that's one thing I'll speak with Dr. Freese about. Maybe he has some insight into what's going on. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by, well, first of all, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, so I want to tell people, Sharon, about Green Things. You've been over there. You know that area by the Brandy Fenton Park.
Absolutely. And I spend way too much money there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Jan and Jack, the owners, are happy to hear that. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I hear a lot of people, Sharon, that go by Green Things as part of the, you know, it's on the kind of on the loop there.
It's right on the loop, yeah. And I'm sure they're doing a good business because we have so many people who enjoy the loop.
Right. The 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo. Sharon, do you remember Zocalo for years was over by Country Club in Broadway? Had a great reputation for beautiful handcrafted furniture.
It absolutely did, and I purchased a few pieces, but it's a lovely to combine it with Green
it
Things,
is.
And it's always dangerous going there. You go for one thing and come home with a
bunch of other stuff.
You got it.
Green Things now and Zocalo Village, 5 shops at the Green Things location. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our guest is Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor. We were talking about the governor and moving, I guess they're going to move prisoners to Pima County or to all the counties, absorbing at least 4,000 state prison inmates. I want to talk about an important meeting, Sharon, next week in the wake of federal officials denying Pima County's request to use a portion of the Operation Stone Garden for humanitarian aid. Sheriff Napier will be asking you and your colleagues on Tuesday to still accept the last two awards of the Border Protection Grant. The sheriff argues that doing otherwise would have an immeasurable negative effect on public safety. Your district really does have the border, doesn't it?
It has the largest border with Mexico of the 24 border counties, depending on who's counting, somewhere between 125 miles or 130 miles of border with Mexico. And I think the sheriff is correct in his assessment is that there is a public safety component that we need to see in those rural areas in Arizona, particularly as we see major drug corridor, human trafficking corridor. And if you look at the ranches along 286, going down to Sasebe, I've spent time with those ranchers, and they cannot leave their homes unoccupied. If it's unoccupied, it will be broken into. They've seen their fences cut. There are some real public safety concerns, and the same with Highway 85 and along 86. You see the same sorts of things. So there is public safety is a priority in those areas, and Stone Garden in the past has helped us patrol those areas where we wouldn't have been able to do so without that funding. So it's a challenging piece. I mean, I first got involved in the whole Stone Garden when I read the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General report that questioned the efficacy of the grant itself and the lack of transparency. Since that report came out in 2017, we saw it in 2018. Concerns raised by the Office of the Inspector General have been addressed by FEMA, who awards the grant. And so we are seeing more transparency and more effectiveness. But again, our concern was that, and it's not only the concern of Pima County, the four border counties, Yuma, Cochise, and Santa Cruz, supervisors have the same concerns that we're not being properly compensated entirely, that it's not free money, because for every dollar we invest or that we get from Stone Garden, we end up spending $6. So it's a matter of how to make that grant effective and fully compensate those counties that do receive the monies.
And the sheriff has a compromise that he has proposed to County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. He's proposing what he called a solid compromise. It would include the limiting of the amount of overtime deputies who are tasked with the Stone Garden duty can work in an effort to reduce the pension liability to county taxpayers and create an in-house rural law enforcement district to handle issues in the border adjacent communities. Does that sound like a pretty good deal to you?
I still have some concerns, okay, but I think we're headed in the right direction. I think what the sheriff has said is that he's going to limit, and what's odd about the grant, that we're talking about a 2018 grant. This is 2020, and so how do you spend 2018 dollars in 2020? Well, it turns out that the term of the grant is for 3 years. So okay, this will take us through 2021. But it wasn't clear whether that was the case. And we began talking with Border Patrol, with DHS, with FEMA, and we got that clarified. But I think in terms of the 2018 grant, what the sheriff has said is he's limiting the overtime and mileage to $500,000. He's willing to do that. And he, again, as you mentioned, he's going to limit the number of hours that people can work overtime to 8 hours in a pay period. So, again, we're headed in the right direction. And my other concern was the humanitarian aid. which FEMA and DHS
rejected.
However, we are going to be getting that money, but
it's
a different grant at this point. There's another grant that San Diego County received over $2 million with that grant. We've applied. We've been reimbursed for some of it, and the second round of the grant, we are going to apply for, I think, over $1 million to get fully compensated for the humanitarian aid that obviously we are, because of our proximity to the border, we're directly impacts us with the number of asylum seekers.
Yeah, a lot of them, actually. Nearly 20,000 asylum seekers in 2019 were aided in Pima County. So what I'm hearing you say now, apparently there will be some compensation.
Yeah, we will get, this is through, it is, Supplemental Appropriations Humanitarian Assistance, SAHA.
Okay.
And so we will be able to get compensated. I think we've been compensated over $100,000 at this point, and we are applying for more. And again, the other piece I was concerned about is not just the overtime that's making, for every dollar we get out of Stone Garden, we spend six. It's lack of indirect expense reimbursement. We've been in consultation with the state and federal agencies, and it now appears that we are going to be able to recover indirect expenses. So again, the cost concerns are being mitigated to my satisfaction.
Is the migrant shelter housing fewer? What are the numbers been
The numbers have been steadily going down, but I think that's a direct result of federal policy.
What's going on at the border, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Be right back with Sharon Bronson right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the music of the birds, 8 miles high. How are you doing today? It's the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a pretty area of the southwestern United States. Sharon Bronson with me in studio. Sharon, have you been over to Grant County?
I have been to Grant County.
Of course, the county seat is Silver City, and they do a great job, Sharon, of marketing their particular area to Tucson, because a lot of Tucson people want to get away, something different. It's only a 3-hour drive over to that area. It's a pretty part of the world, isn't it?
And I think in the summer, it's a little bit cooler, and it's...
It is because of the mile-high elevation of Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org there's a list of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. And I do want to mention they've got an event. Sharon, you like chocolate. I know that. They've got the Chocolate Fantasia.
Woo.
That's going to be a delicious way to spend a day with your sweetheart, family, or friends right before Valentine's Day. It's February 8th in Silver City, and so they're going to have even a chocolate parade. Not sure. That ought to be fun. Anyway, Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org. The Heritage Center, what is the official name, Sharon Bronson?
Oh, we are, Arizona Heritage and Visitor Center. And we are opening it brand new this Saturday, January 18th at 10 a.m. It will be open for business. And it's located on the floor of the historic Pima County Courthouse, and it will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week for visitors and those interested to learn more about Tucson and Southern Arizona's heritage. We've got exhibits, topographic maps, dioramas, Sonoran Desert information, a gift shop, and...
Is the mineral collection there?
The mineral collection is not. It will be in the old courthouse, but that's different. The remaining parts of a courthouse will include the Dillinger Courtroom, conference rooms, and the U of A Mineral Museum, and the January 8th Memorial. And we will be. They will be fully opened in 2021, a little bit sooner perhaps, but definitely. In 2021, they will all be up and running. But I think it's the visitor center. You need to visit because the exhibits are just amazing. We've got a theater, a gallery, and we've got these storytelling portals that highlight innovation, history of the region, arts and culture, food, recreation, water and what it means to Southern Arizona, and nature. What is it that makes the Sonoran Desert special? It's a great interactive opportunity. And again, as I said, we are officially opening it this Saturday, January 18th at 10 a.m. We've got a soft opening tomorrow.
Okay.
And people are welcome to come too to that. So,
how's the restoration down there? Pretty good?
Yes, it's really coming along. And again, we're doing this in conjunction with Pima County Attraction and Tourism and Visit Tucson. And it's staffed by volunteers, both from Pima County and from Visit Tucson. So come and enjoy it. Learn a little bit about our history and our culture and all the good food you can find in Sonora in our brand.
We're the epicenter for good food. Pima County leads the way on fighting climate change. You had an op-ed piece. A lot of people think, well, oh, climate change, that's something on a kind of a global scale. But, hey, if you've been in Tucson a while, you know we are on the front lines of a place that is being affected by climate change.
We definitely are. Look at the Australian fires. We could see some of that, especially because of the invasive species like buffle grass.
Yeah.
Could be very, very destructive. And we've had, over the last several years, the hottest years on record. It could only get hot. I mean, it's bound to get hotter. At least that's what the climate models are telling us.
Someone would like to say, join in the conversation. I believe it's David. David, go ahead. You're with Sharon Bronson.
Yes, I want to thank you and the two other Democratic supervisors for the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which includes the Bozo Zone, Buffer Overlay Zone, which restricts development around the park, because my property is in the Bozo Zone, and that holds my assessment, my taxes down. And unchecked development is the biggest factor driving taxes up. Put it simply, you've got the Sonoran Desert, and you've got two choices. Leave it alone, doesn't cost anything. Let a developer scrape it and replace the houses, and the taxpayers on the hook for bigger roads, more schools, more fire, police protection, and all those capital improvements.
All right. Thank you, David. Sonoran Conservation Plan.
That started the ball rolling in terms of how we protect our fragile ecosystem. And that was a collaborative effort with the private sector and the public sector and with the home builders. And it was a win-win situation. We get to protect our desert. Home builders get certainty about where they can build. And at the same time, we protect what makes this region so very special, and that's the Sonoran Desert.
Getting back to that op-ed about Pima County leading the way, what are some of the ways we're fighting climate change on a local level?
I think what we're doing is through our fleet, we are converting our fleet to...
the county fleet.
The county, yeah, the cars we drive.
Right.
Converting them from gas to electric on a yearly basis. We are retrofitting our buildings to make them more energy efficient. I think we're working with the home builders to some extent when new construction so that we can get to some real meaningful green building standards. And we like to do more, but we're a weak arm of the state and in terms of what we can require that would help with abating climate change. But we did very early on when looked like the United States was pulling out of the Paris Accord, we went on record in support of the Paris Accord, and we are complying as best we can statutorily with the tenets that came out of the Paris Accord.
I believe we're the only country in the world that's not part of the Paris Accord.
I think that's correct, and I don't think that's a good thing.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Sharon, hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition again. We'll get the take of what's going on with the governor. Actually, the governor's budget is going to be released during the noon hour tomorrow. We'll get some real-time update from Senator Freeze, Randy Freeze, who will be up there as they release the budget. So that's going to be coming up during the noon hour tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview. Hope you'll be able to join us. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Supervisor Bronson and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, hope you have a great afternoon. Coming up next, the very popular Dave Ramsey Show, telling you how to budget your money and save some money and not be in debt to the credit card companies. Some of these student loans, my goodness, I hear these horror stories. $200,000 in student loans, some of these young people starting their careers that way. That is ridiculous. Anyway, have a great afternoon.